All right. Can everyone hear me okay? Can I show of hands in the back of the room? Can you guys hear fine? Cool. All right. Well, welcome, you guys. Good afternoon. So I have a confession to make. This is actually my first mech. I'm a mech virgin. So I want you guys to be really gentle with me. It's my first time. Not going to happen. So I'm curious. What I do understand about mech is demographically, it's overwhelmingly IT professionals and architects. So you guys love hearing about architecture, topological options, performance, resource constraints, HA, storage, things of that nature. What you really like to hear about a lot less are end user features and user interface. Is that a pretty true statement? That's my understanding. Not true? Okay. Well, I'm seeing yeses and nos. So I'll tell you what, I maybe have some good news and some bad news for you guys. The bad news is this entire session is about user features and user interface. The good news is all of us are software engineers, so we are too weak to forcibly restrain you from leaving the room right now. All right? So I want to start with a story. Several years ago, my family took a road trip from Seattle down to Portland. My oldest daughter at that time, she was 2.5 years old. And prior to the road trip, we acquired our first GPS. And I say acquired because I actually got on Craigslist and I bartered for an HD DVD drive. Does anyone remember what those are? So I clearly got the better end of that deal, I think. So this was our first experience with a GPS, and my daughter had never seen one before. And so she was kind of quietly absorbing this over the course of a few days. About the third day of our trip, she pipes up from the back seat. My wife is driving, and she says, "Hey, Mom, do you like it when that tiny computer always tells you what to do?" And my wife thought for a minute, and she said, "Yeah, actually, I do." And my daughter quickly responded, "Because you do not like it when I always tell you what to do." So the moral of that story, as it pertains to this session, is there's really two forms of intelligent assistance. There's the GPS kind that's welcome and informative and useful, and then there's the 2.5-year-old bossy kind, which is much less welcome and useful, right? So today we're going to talk to you about three intelligent features, and we're very interested in how you guys feel about these features and your feedback, because we are very interested in building features that sit on the right side of that line. So first, let me scare you for a little bit. In 2012, we, mankind, created 2.8 zettabytes of information. So that's not petabytes or exabytes, that's zettabytes of information. By 2020, that pool of information is supposed to expand by 2,000%. This data, it's being created by you and me. It's by individuals, and it's being shared by individuals. It's not being created by our enterprises. It's not being created by government think tanks or research institutions. It's being created by you and I. And a tremendous volume of this deluge travels through email every single day to the tune of about 154 billion email messages. So what does that mean for the average user? Well, it means that we now spend almost half of our week managing our email and collecting and gathering data. Almost half of our week. Some of you are probably saying, "Yeah, right, I wish it was only half of my week." But for the average office worker, that's what it is. And in spite of that tremendously expensive outlay, 62% of office workers report they cannot use their data effectively to make decisions in their jobs. So we have a real problem. So what should we do about it? Well, there's really three important observations. The first is that inside this deluge of information, there is actually relevant and useful data. The second is that how you interact with that data provides a blueprint for what's important to you. And the third, the data and the metadata you create around it, inside of there, really is a key to some solutions. So what can these solutions look like? Well, there's three that we're working on right now. The first is called Codename Clutter. And Clutter is all about making your inbox again, helping you get rid of all the distractions so you can focus on what's important to actually get your job done. The second is called PeopleView. And PeopleView is all about putting the people that are important to you at the center of your mail experience. It's about helping you understand when someone important has sent you a mail that's outstanding and helping you manage and respond to those mails. And then the third is a brand new search experience. And this search experience is powered by your data in your mailbox and the data you create by sifting through your mailbox. And this new search experience will intelligently help you create your queries, refine your queries, so you can quickly find exactly what you're looking for. And all three of these features have been designed to work together to help you kind of stem that tide, to kind of provide a bulwark against that tsunami of data, and focus on the much more narrow band of the data that's important to you personally. All three of these features are built on top of a set of technologies that we call the Office Graph. Now, each of the feature owners in just a minute are going to get up here and talk to you in more detail about each of these, and they're going to tell you about the intelligence that was used to create these features and how it's manifest in the user experience. But there are some important characteristics that are common across all these features by virtue of the Office Graph. The first is that your data dictates who and what is important to you as an individual. The second is that you're in control of the features. You can turn the features on and off. You can control how they behave. And the third is that the Office Graph protects your privacy and the privacy of your enterprise. So what's the purpose, then, of this session? Well, there's really three. The first, and most obvious, is that we want to show you what we're building. And we want to talk to you about why. And the second is we want to show you what this can look and feel like. And the third is, as I said earlier, we really want your feedback. We want to make sure that we're doing our best to build and ship the right things that work in the way that you expect them to. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the time off to my colleague Jim Edlin, and he's going to talk to you more about Codename Clutter.
All right. I'm Jim Edlin, and I've been leading the Clutter project for the last couple of years, and I want to share with you how it works and why we built it the way we did. Our customers have been telling us for a really long time that they're flooded with information. Information overload's a huge problem, and it has been for years. As we look through the data, every year, the amount of mail that goes through the system continues to grow and grow. The feeling of being overwhelmed actually depends quite a lot on the individual. We actually asked users how much information overload, what does information overload mean to you? And we get answers ranging from, oh, I get 10 messages a day and I can't deal with that, to I get hundreds of messages a day and I can't deal with that. But when we dig deeper, what we find is that the feeling of overwhelmingness has to do with the fact that a lot of the things that come into the inbox don't matter. People are spending time with items that aren't interesting to them, aren't useful to them, and it just feels like there's so much stuff to get through in a given day. So we wanted to try and help address that problem. There are three core pillars to the value proposition we have for Clutter. The first is we want you guys to spend time on what matters. Spend time doing high-value activities, things that are related to your job, not scanning through email and making decisions about whether this is useful or not. The second is we know that a good chunk of our user base really likes to keep a fairly clean inbox and wants to get rid of all the things that don't matter and they don't want to refer to. So we want to provide the tools necessary to be able to quickly clean up the important things. And lastly, and just as important as all the others, is that we want our users to feel like email is less overwhelming. The other two are very focused on productivity. The last is really focused on a feeling. And that having users feel in control of their mail will be better for everyone. You can think about clutter almost like personalized junk. Normal junk email is very generalized. It's basically garbage for everybody. You can think about things like Nigerian scams, and get-rich-quick schemes. And I'm sure since most of you are IT administrators, you can think of other types of email that HR would prefer I not mention up here. So those are pretty general. And the classifier that we have for anti-spam is focused on trying to identify those types of things and put them in junk for everyone. Clutter is really focused on you. What is interesting to you and what matters to you? What's clutter for me may not be clutter for you. Some examples of things that are clutter could be status mails from various departments at your company that you don't work with. So you have no interest in reading, but they're sent out pretty widely, broadcast pretty widely. Or notifications for things going, for internal systems being down. But if you don't use those internal systems, those things are just cluttering up your mailbox. So really, clutter's all about what you think is interesting and what you think is not interesting. While building clutter, we learned a lot about how users interact with their email and use that to guide some of the principles that we put together for the feature. The first is we learned that it's actually really a lot easier to process things when they're pre-segmented into groups. So if you have a preconceived notion that clutter is junky things and inbox is non-junky things, that it's a lot easier to scan through and make decisions. If any of you have read Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, you'll recognize this from the System 1 and System 2 thinking in the brain. System 1 is about the subconscious brain. As humans, we're really, really good at pattern matching and doing that subconsciously without applying a lot of effort. System 2 is about the logical thinking in the brain, and you actually have to engage and spend precious mental cycles to make an individual decision. So when you look at email today, everything's commingled in your inbox, the important things and the non-important things. And when that's the case, you end up having to make an individual decision on every single item. And that's really taxing. And the mental energy that you have to apply to make those decisions could be spent on things that are much more valuable to you and your job. So we wanted to say that we're going to segment out these messages into two different groups to help make it a lot more efficient for triage. The other thing we learned is that humans get very distracted. A lot of times, people will be working on something fairly important to their job, putting together a document, for example, and a new toast will pop up. And the toast says, hey, you got a new email. Regardless of what that email is, most people will stop what they're doing, take a look at the toast, think about it, make a decision, should I open that and look at it? And what psychological research shows is that even if you don't open the message, just by moving over, looking at the toast pop up, thinking about whether you should open the mail or not, you lose context. And switching back takes almost a whole minute for you to be just as productive. And imagine that happening dozens or hundreds of times a day. You end up spending a lot of time context switching. That's really expensive. So for items that are clutter, you're not interested in, there's no reason to distract you with them, so we won't put notifications up. The last set of principles are around, it's all about you. You're in control. We really want you to be in control of the clutter experience. So it learns based off of your usage and activities. You can provide input and feedback to override the assistance that it attempts to give you. And you can choose whether you want to use it or not. No one's going to force it on you. Let me give a quick demo. I'm assuming that all of you were at the keynote and saw the keynote demo. But if not, you'll get a quick refresher here. So this is an example of a mailbox. Something like my mailbox on a given day. I've got a couple pages of content when I get in the morning that I get to go scroll through. It's probably about 30 items here, maybe 40 items here. Not really surprising for leaving work, coming back late in the morning, taking a look at what's in my mailbox. So before clutter, this is what I have to go deal with. I get to look at each individual item, make a decision, is this interesting, is this not interesting? After clutter runs for a while and personalizes for me, I can show what my mailbox would look like with clutter enabled. And if you see, it took out a huge amount of messages, 27 in this case, you can see down here, and lets me focus on the things that are actually high value and the things that I care about in order to do my job effectively. So I can go through and work on these high value things in my inbox. And when I have some free time, I can go quickly look at and scan through the clutter. We've done a lot to make the experience for scanning clutter extremely efficient. So for example, we have this black background to show that you are in clutter and distinguish it from your regular inbox, again, getting your brain to focus on quickly finding things that don't belong here. We've changed the quick actions to be get rid of the item or promote it back to your inbox. And if you promote it back to your inbox, it also provides input into the clutter system to learn that items like this are interesting to you and you won't, we won't put them in clutter anymore. So you can quickly scan through this list and find things that might be interesting. For me, I'm actually interested in this life at Microsoft. Not important necessarily. Don't need it for my job, but I like looking at them. So I can quickly and easily mark it as not clutter, promotes it back to my inbox, and in the future, those items will show up in my inbox. We're going to take questions at the end. There'll be plenty of time. And then the other thing we did here is we also compressed the row size to make it easier to scan through more content quickly. Again, assuming that it's not important, all you really should be doing here is scanning for things that are actually important. And then we make it really super simple to clean up. You can go get rid of everything and have a nice, clean inbox. So let's talk a little bit about how it works. Clutter is a personalized machine learning model. It's personalized to you, and all of the learning is done is in the context of you and your mailbox. The system looks at many different message attributes to make a determination of whether something's clutter or not, very similar to the way anti-spam works, with the big difference that this is personalized. It looks at the actions that you're taking in order to teach the model what you are interested in. Every individual has a model specifically learned and trained for them to make these clutter observations. So it's your actions that teach the system what is interesting to you and what is not interesting to you. It looks at things like read and reply, delete. After you get the user experience, it'll start to look at what you mark as clutter explicitly and not clutter explicitly, whether you move things into it or out of the clutter group. We also even have explicit overrides, like rules, if you want to go say, this person is important to me, and I never want them to go to clutter, regardless of what you learn. So you can override that as well. We actually have out of the box an override for yourself. We found as we were dog fooding this feature that a common pattern is people will send mail to themselves to remind themselves to do something, and just the subject is sufficient to remind you, hey, that's what I needed to do. And often we'll find people that delete those things, send mail to yourself, don't look at it, delete it really quickly. Generally looks like clutter, but because you sent it to yourself, it's definitely not. So let's take an example. The learning process takes a look at a whole bunch of message attributes. It looks at things like who sent the mail, whether it was sent with high importance, whether it has attachments, are you on the to line, are you the only person on the to line, and things like that. And it puts that in conjunction with your actions. Did you reply? Did you flag? Did you read? And take as a whole, creates a learning summary based on your activities. So what types of content do you usually ignore? What types of content do you usually delete? What types of content do you usually reply to make this to understand in general how you interact with different types of mail content? It will then go and, as new mail arrives, use that same set of message attributes, as well as what it's learned in the past, and make some predictions going forward about whether the message is likely to be clutter or not. The determination for clutter happens in transport. It always happens for while messages are being delivered so that it can be filtered out of your inbox. If you have rules, they will also override the clutter classification, because our expectation is that you as the user have done something specific to say, I want these particular types of items to be handled in a certain way. And we're always going to listen to you more than listen to the system's predictions, which may not always be correct. We also only process new incoming email. So all the old stuff in your mailbox is not touched. We don't want to go take content out of your inbox that you've seen there before, that you know is there, and put it somewhere else. So only existing content, only new content is ever classified as clutter. Conversations, however, are kept up to date as new content arrives. The learning happens periodically through a time-based assistant. It goes and loads up all the new messages that have come in since the last time it's learned, and applies all the new actions to update the learning summary. Privacy is really important to us in Office 365, and we know it's really important to you. So everything that we do here, all the learning, all the processing, is all done in context to your mailbox. The learning summary that we create is stored inside your mailbox and not exposed to anyone else. And as we do all this processing, it is solely constrained to your mailbox. Excuse me. The feature is not for everybody. The feature we've built is really focused on information workers. We know that there are ways to classify content and categorize content that consumers tend to get, things like newsletters and social media updates and receipts. Those are not really the target here. We could do something a lot better and easier for those things. This is really focused on information workers, because we find that there's no general templatized patterns for the things that are interesting inside a given company. You may have some templates in your company, but those are not easily understood by the whole world, much like things like receipts are. The other thing is that you need a reasonably good amount of content coming in order for us to learn, both because if you're only getting 3 messages a day, filtering stuff out is not really high value, as well as it's very hard for the clutter system to learn what's important or what's interesting to you and not if it gets very little content. So interestingly, the more data you have, the worse the information overload problem is, and the easier it is for us to help solve it for you. And finally, it's still all about you. You get to decide whether you want the feature or not. You get to help provide feedback into the system. It will notify you and advertise to you saying, hey, this is ready for you. We think that it will be a good experience. Try it out. But it's totally up to you to decide whether you want to try it at all or whether you want to keep it enabled. So when's it coming? Clutter's a cloud-first feature. It will start rolling out worldwide to Office 365 customers this calendar year. We don't have anything to say at the moment about when it will come to on-premise. And it will come across clients. This is a type of feature that really only works well if it works across clients, because no one's doing all of their email in OAuth. Lots of people use Outlook. Many, even more people use their phone to do mail triage. So it's important that it works across clients. And our initial version will have support across all those clients with some premium features on top for OAuth and a future version of Outlook. With that, I'm going to pass off the presentation to my colleague Krish, and we will take questions on all three sessions at the end.
Thanks, Jen. All right. So my name is Krish Galli. I am a program manager in the People and Groups team in Exchange, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about People View for the next 15 minutes or so. What are we trying to solve with People View? As Tori mentioned at the beginning, there are over 150 billion mails being sent every day by individuals. And research shows that over 60% of the time information workers spend on a regular basis is spent communicating. Now, not all of the time is communicating in email, but then a majority of time, that time is actually spent on email communications. So if you think about an 8-hour day, about 4.5-5 hours of that is spent in communications. You could just imagine how much of that time is wasteful. Organizing and managing mail is a very, very big challenge for most of our users. A few months back, about 6 months or so back, a new person joined our team. His name is Ken, and I met him about a week into his job, and he was so happy that he spent a full day of his time creating rules and folders to just make sure he can stay on top of the information that he gets on his in his inbox. I was actually extremely depressed, disappointed when I heard that. 8 hours he spent doing that, which he could have very well spent in doing something a lot more productive and has a lot more value to the company that he's working in. And finally, communications are inherently people-centric. When you want to send a mail out, you start with a to line. When you want to make a call, you start with a person. Why can't communications that I receive also be people-centric? Why can't I know the communications, the email communications I get, will be sorted and ordered based on their importance and their relevance to me? With those kind of constraints, we design the People View. Now, what is People View? Users get an at-a-glance view of what is in your inbox with the People View. You come in the morning, you see the People View, and it shows you the person and the number of unread mails that that person has sent you since you checked your mail last. It's very easy to understand what is waiting for you in your inbox and prioritize your triage based on the people that sent those messages. Secondly, a quick triage of your mails. You can select one of those people, quickly see all the messages that they've sent you, figure out if you want to take action on any of them. If you think you can save it for later or you don't need to immediately take action on them, right-click on the person to mark all their messages as read. And again, really getting back to how do you get to that inbox zero state, not necessarily for all your inbox mails, but at least for the people who matter to you, the people who you have a social contract with. And finally, always fresh and relevant. The system always generates these people in this view based on email activity that has happened in your inbox. So if you get new people, it learns from your behavior, it adapts to the behavior, and as you read mails, the unread people bump up to the top, always giving you the fresh, what next should I focus on? With that, I want to quickly walk you through a demo of how this might work. Okay, so this is usually how my inbox looks like. And I was on vacation last week in Hawaii, and I know all of us have been there, right? So we try to be unplugged when we are out of office, and when we come back, you have a pile of mails just waiting for you to take action on. There's no real ways to effectively manage those mails until now. So I look at clutter. Clutter has effectively pulled out all the mails that I never read, and I can quickly triage away the ones that I don't read. Now, getting back to the ones I do have to read, here's people view. Paul happens to be my manager, and he has sent me 3 mails that I probably usually look at, but before people view, that used to be scanning through the list of 30, 40, 50 mails, and if I'm coming back from a week of vacation, that is over 500 mails sitting there for me. I can select Paul and immediately see all his mails that he has asked me to respond to. So his first mail is, I'm meeting with marketing today for one at 4 p.m., and he wants me to send a deck. I know that Alex has the document that was supposed to be sent to Paul. So I'm going to quickly download this document and reply to Paul so that he doesn't have to wait for me anymore. There you go. Quick, easy triage based on what is important to you. I can do that later, and he wants me to complete my expense report from earlier. I'm going to keep that message as unread so that Paul stays in my view, and I can get back to it when necessary. So now, Sarah has sent me a mail as well. She is another coworker that I work with, and she's asked me a question about what is Yammer. I think Tony Redmond is the guy to answer this question, so that she can go ahead and ask Tony about it, about Yammer. So that is people view. You saw a bunch of quick triage. You saw notifications. You saw how people come in and go out of the view and always stays fresh and relevant. So a quick look at how people view works. So we have an inference-based an assistant that looks at all those mails that you send. So these are not the mails you receive. These are the mails you send, and has a prioritized ranked list of people that you send mails to. And we tag all messages that you receive from those people so that we can create a view when these people send mails to you. People are added and removed based on email communication. So there's no end user management or organization that is necessary. when you get new people that start working with you, you're working on a new project, then the system automatically adapts to your working conditions, and it makes sure the new people are automatically added into the view. There's no end user management required. And finally, people are ranked based on your outbound communications, and it's not based on who sends you the most mail. It's a simple user experience. So this is one of our key design principles, that we want to keep the UX as simple as possible. There's just a name and a number, so it's easy to kind of learn about the feature and what this is about. And you select the person, you see all the mails that person has sent, and the number indicates the number of unread items that exist from that person. It's very fast. As you saw from the demo, you select a person, you quickly see all the mails that person has sent you. So one of our design principles, again, was that unless we are faster than a user scanning through mails and picking out the mails that he received from people that mattered to them, we should not do something like this, right? We should always be better, faster than end users who manually do something like that today. And finally, it's not a folder, it's a view, right? So we do not take away any mails from your current inbox folder. As Jim and Tori mentioned, we are definitely wanting to make sure that we don't disrupt their current experience, but then add to their experience in ways that will help them be more on top of the information that they receive. Quick discussion about the schedule. So we released the feature in a limited fashion to Office 365. We've been getting really great feedback. Would love to hear what you guys think about it as well and iterate on it as we keep building on top of it. Our plan is to release it worldwide in the second half of this year. And right now, People View is only supported in the OWA client. We are working with Outlook to add support in their future versions. And on-prem, there is a plan to get to on-prem in the next big release of Exchange Server for on-premises customers. With that, I would like to hand this over to Kule to talk about personalized search, and I'll be happy to take questions at the end.
Hello. Hi, my name is Kutlai, and I'm a program manager in OWA Mail team. And today I'll be talking about mail search in OWA specifically. So today, with the ever-growing mailbox sizes and the amount of email that we receive today, as Tori and Krish mentioned, search has become one of the key features that our users rely on to find information and be productive. I don't know if you've seen, but in the McKinsey chart that Tori has shown, 20% of an information worker's time is spent for searching and gathering information. With software products, whether they're served over the web or running on your devices, search capabilities have increased over the years. And web search engines like Google and Bing are good examples to this. They're not just improving their algorithms. They're improving their search experiences to make users more productive. Some examples to these experiences are suggestions. So they help you start your search query in a more productive way. Second, and one of the most important ones, is they're really fast. most of the results come under 1 second. And the third one, one of the key ones, is refiners or filters that help the user narrow down their results in an efficient way. So coming back to mail search, looking at some quantitative data, we have found that almost one-third of our users are doing searches which are repeat searches. Well, what does that mean? That means almost 30% of the users start some search, look at the results, find that they're not getting their results back, and then cancel out of search, and then go back to it again. That sounds like a waste of time. Also, talking to the users and looking at some qualitative data, we found that there are some pain points today with mail search. One of them is that users told us that mail search is way too slow. And compared to web search engines, it is slow today. Second one is that users cannot find or cannot narrow down the results with some useful tools. So they get a big result setback, but they have to scroll through it to find the result that they're looking for. Third one is they spend all this time filing and organizing their email just to find them later. But that does not help with their search success time. What that means is that they file their information, their mails, into a folder, and then have to remember which folder they have filed in, and then go through and scroll through that list just to find the thing that they were looking for. So that's not very productive either. And last, users find it hard to recall which search term they have to start with to be able to do a search. So they kind of know what they're going to search, but not exactly the term. So it's hard for them to start their search experience. So what are we doing to alleviate all these problems? There are four key features that are coming to mail search. First one is what we call lightning search results. With our new indexing and query pipeline, we're aiming to serve the users their results in under 1 second. Second one is what we call personalized suggestions. And these suggestions are based on the content of your mailbox and from other resources like your search history and recipient cache to be able to serve the user the most important suggestions first so that they can start their search in an effective manner. Third one is content-based refiners. These refiners will help users narrow down their result set more effectively. And the last one is what we call hit highlighting. This helps users find relevant sections within longer conversations much quicker. So enough talk about some user features. I'm going to go into a demo of our new search features. Wrong one. Okay. So here's the typical user's mailbox with some folders in here and a bunch of emails. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find some information from Robin Counts, but first I want to look up some contact information from her too. So I start typing CO and you can see that I see Robin's information here, I can click on this icon to get some information about Robin. And at the same time, if I want to see the emails from her, I click on this and see all the results from Robin. I don't know if you've seen that, but I can click on the search again. The results come almost instantly. And this is from a live mailbox from a user. If I go back, this time I'm looking for all the emails that have the keyword content in it. We're doing some research for content analysis. So I start typing CO, and the system gives me suggestions like content, contractor, and I can easily select from that one, and I get some results back. So the first thing to notice is on the left-hand side, we have some dynamic refiners. There's the from refiners, in folder refiners, with attachment refiners, and date refiners. So these refiners are generated from the content of your for your mailbox. What that means is that you're going to get results by selecting any of the refiners if you select them. Let me show you. So if I want to see all the emails from Pavel with the keyword content, I can easily select Pavel, and my result set is narrowed down to those emails from Pavel. And if I want to see only emails from Pavel with keyword content in content analysis folder, I can select that one, and then multiple refiners are selected. If I unselect Pavel and content analysis, you can see that the folder refiners have changed dynamically as we are executing our search. Let me show you another example. Let's say that I want to find all the emails from Sarah with attachments in it, which is a common scenario as we're trying to find some document from some person. So I click on Sarah, and if I click on attachments, as you can see, I have found the emails that I'm looking for. And last but not least, one of my favorite features, let's say that I am looking for some section of an email from someone, but it has been a long conversation. We have some email back and forth with that person. So in this case, I had that with Robin about content. I narrowed down my result set from the emails with her. Then I want to find a section within the email that we have been having in that conversation. So I can easily use the hit highlighting feature here on the right-hand side to go to the relevant section within that email. So I can go up and down, and as you can see, there's 15 instances of that keyword within that conversation. So this was a quick and sneak preview into the search experience in OWA. We have a dedicated session for search, including an in-depth discussion of how it works behind the scenes, tomorrow at 1 p.m. in Ballroom F. And my colleague Kumar is going to explain how the back end of this works as well. So please come and join us in that session. And thank you for your time. I want to now change it over to Tori for closing remarks.
So I apologize for being very anticlimactic. I really don't have closing remarks. I really just wanted to hand it over for questions. But I do want to remind you guys, if you could please take a minute and fill out the survey. Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, and help us improve our presentations. We'd really appreciate that. So Without further ado, actually, I'll call my colleagues up here on the stage. There's two microphones. I'd ask that you use the microphone so that everyone can hear your questions, but please, any questions, comments, or feedback.
So with the transport service doing the work in the back end, as an administrator, can I prevent certain messages from ever being categorized as clutter? Maybe I don't want a message from the CEO to ever be categorized as clutter by the end user. Will I have that level of control?
So the system is currently architected does not have administrator level control over content-driven decision-making.
Okay.
As Jim said, it certainly learns from personalized patterns, and it also gives user the control to say, hey, I personally never want to see messages from my CEO categorized as clutter.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
For the clutter feature, does it get assigned like a confidence level, similar to like spam confidence level? Like, is there a rating like 1 through 10 or minus 1?
So internally, the system does work, and it kind of learns personally both confidence as well as threshold, and it categorizes based on that. It's not exposed to the end user. It's kept very simply for the end user of this is clutter, this is not clutter. But internally, there are confidence scores and thresholds.
Hi, Darren. Actually got a few questions. One was, when do you expect this to be available for dedicated customers?
It's good. When you say this, all of these, all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. Why not?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Right now for Clutter, the only plans we have on the books are to release this to shared customers this calendar year. We still, as Jim said, need to schedule what we're going to do for both dedicated as well as on-premises customers.
It will probably come to dedicated before it comes to on-premise.
Okay.
Could you guys hear that okay? Sorry.
It'll probably come to dedicated before it comes to on-premise. We're in the process of figuring out how we get it to dedicated at the moment, but we don't have the plan fully locked yet.
Okay. In terms of hybrid...
As far as... Was that... You were primarily interested in clutter, or were you interested in the other features as well?
Well, we can talk about the other features as well. Clutter was the main one I was thinking of.
Okay. The other features will just follow the standard upgrade schedule and dedicated.
Sure. Okay. Thinking about hybrid mode... If you're introducing it in the cloud in sometime later this year, the clutter, can we administratively turn that off so that we don't have a different experience for our users before on-premises upgrade?
I don't have a really good answer for that at the moment. So the feature is not fully complete yet. That's really good feedback for us to take back and consider.
Anchor someone in the people view, like my manager, even though I don't send him email all the time.
At this point, no. We are collecting feedback to understand the various signals that exist, like if hierarchy is of utmost importance to you. We would like to see if we can detect that automatically, and we're also considering other ways of ranking people in the view.
All right, well, if there's no other questions, then we can break early and give you guys some time back. Thanks.